Part of what he sang about also is the blessing we have in this country. You know that a lot of soldiers have died for us to be able to be here? And sometimes when I think about that and I think about the direction and some of the things and the decisions that are being made, it makes me sad, sorrowful and sad to know how we fought for liberty and then people are casting it aside. But there are a lot of reasons why we need to be in church in 2015. I'm excited. You know, of course, this goes for every year. But I was just praying about what God would want me to preach about. And God put this on my heart. It's a very familiar scripture when we read it. If you would, stand to your feet. And let's look at Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to start reading in the 23rd verse. And I'm just praying this morning. I want God's will to be done. You know, sometimes I really do. I seek the Lord every day. Somebody asked me, when do you have time to study? I study all the time. I study at lunch. I got a notepad on my desk at work. And a lot of times when we're not, you know, we've not been busy lately. It's been miserable to not be off during the holidays because the phone's not ringing. And even though I complain about 200 emails a day, I hadn't been getting them the past few days. I laid a notepad up on my desk. I said, Lord, give me a thought. And then he starts giving them to me. And I said, whoa, Lord, slow down, Lord. Because then I get some confusion trying to pray about what God wants me to preach about. But I believe this is it. But you know, we want what God wants. It's not about what the preacher thinks or what I believe. Because y'all not, and this is just probably the facts. Y'all don't agree with everything I say. You probably agree with most of it or y'all done run me off by now. But people have differences of opinion. People have differences of conviction and even preference, which we may get into that sometime. But you know, we want what God wants. It's not about me, and it's not about you. But God's Word speaks to us. And that's why when God gives me a thought, I really do want to give you some Bible. And let you digest it in your heart and mind, and let you examine yourself. Because folks, God has not changed. And I don't believe He's going to. You know, there's one verse that Jesus spoke and He said, when He returns, shall He find faith on the earth? It's a question. Because, you know, we're getting to the time that people reject truth. They pull away from truth. You know, they have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. And a lot of people don't hear preaching like I do. I don't know any other kind. Let's look at this scripture and I pray that God would show us what He wants us to see. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. It says, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now that's the scripture I had on my heart. Now let us pray. God, we thank You so much for letting us be in Your house this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your sweet spirit. Lord, we thank You for the year that You've given us. Lord, we thank You for this church. Lord, we thank You for the people that You've let us meet here and the friendships and the fellowship. And God, how the Spirit's bore witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Lord, we thank You for the people we've been able to see saved. And Lord, for those, Lord, that we saw baptized. And Lord, for the growth that we've seen in our young people, and Lord, the many blessings that You've poured on us. But Lord, we don't ever want to live in the past. We want to look to the future. We want to go forward for You and honor You with everything that we do. And God, we pray You'd open this scripture to us this morning that we'd see exactly what You want us to see in it. Help us, Lord, that our lips would be anointed with Your Holy Spirit and our mind would be sharp to remember the things that You call to us. And help us, God, only to speak those things that be pleasing to You. We give You the honor, the glory, the praise for everything that's done. And this we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I want to go back and look at that 25th verse again. And this is the text verse. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, you know, a lot of times at this time of the year, people make New Year's resolutions. Sometimes the New Year's resolutions they make are for their own benefit and for their own good or for their own wants. And I heard somebody say that the average New Year's resolution lasts about 8 days. You know, and I've made some, and there's been times in my life that I would want to do something, and for me to do it, and I'm just going to tell you the truth, for me to lose weight, I have to spiritualize it. I do. I mean, when Kendra and I got married, I weighed 140 pounds, and I've changed over the years. But I have to spiritualize it. I have to get it in my mind, and I said, Lord, you got to help me with it, because you know what? There's a lot of things you can't do by yourself. There's a lot of things in your life that you're going to face that if you're going to be able to make it, you're going to have God's help. But sometimes the decisions we make and the things that we try to do, we're doing things that really aren't even good for us. Our decisions, our convictions, but when we look into the Word of God, and I remember this verse and it kept coming back to my heart and my mind, and it's telling us that we ought to come together. We ought to come together in worship. And folks, I look forward to Sunday morning. You know, I know people talk about the ball games and they talk about this and they talk about that. There's no time that I look more forward to than being in the house of God. And I don't have to be the one preaching as long as somebody's preaching to me. Okay? I'm not talking about trying to make me feel good, but pouring the Word of God on me, giving me something that'll help me make it through the week, that'll help me live my life for the honor and glory of God. That's what I need. And folks, that's what I want my kids to get. I want them to get the uncut Word of God. Now, when I look at this scripture and it tells us that we ought to come together, I want to tell you why we need to be in church in 2015. Number one, the scripture says, as you see the day approaching. We need to be in the house of God because the day is approaching. Well, you ever thought about what day that is? The day that they're talking about here, I believe with all my heart, is the day of the Lord. It is the day of the coming of the Lord. And I begin to think about that and look at scripture and pull some scripture up. And I want to give you some scripture. This is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And here's a reminder in the New Testament, in Paul's writing, of what was written in Matthew, of what actually is confirmed by Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. That when Jesus comes, he would come in such a manner that people are not going to be looking for him. They're not going to be looking for the Lord to come, and a lot of times they're not even going to be believing that the Lord will come. Do you know that people go to church all the time that go because they want to satisfy something inside of themselves, but they don't believe the Word of God? Because if they believed the Word of God, they would be living a different life. You see, here's what I believe about when you ask somebody about their convictions, here's how you tell real quickly. You can tell what a person believes by the way a person lives. I don't ask people what they believe. I look at their life. Their life tells me exactly what they believe. And when I look at this scripture, it says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. People are not going to be looking at him and for him. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 and 43, it says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. It says, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So here's Jesus, he's telling them, giving them an example, and here's Paul confirming it in Thessalonians. Go to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15 and hear what Jesus himself said about it. He said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You see, one reason we need to be in the house of the Lord in 2015, going forward, we can't go back. I can't change the things that are behind me. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about what's behind me. One thing that I think about is I think about things that I have said or done that I wish I could change, but I cannot change them. All I can do from here is look forward and try my best to be what God wants me to be. One thing that I believe that God wants me to be is he wants me to be in his house. Okay, because the day is approaching, Jesus is coming soon. The scripture tells us all the signs are pointing to his return. Okay? Now here's something else I want you to understand. It says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When Jesus comes, it truly will be his day. Okay? When Jesus Christ returns, every eye is going to behold. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. The scripture says in the book of Revelations that they would run and seek and hide for a cave. They'd look for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of a living God. It gives us a picture of what he's going to be like when he comes and he has this name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his eyes are as a flame of fire and his voice is as many waters. There will be no one running to defeat him. It will be his day. The Beatles won't stand up and say, we're bigger than God right now. The mockers are not going to be able to get away with saying there's no God. It's going to be his day. The headlines, there'll be nothing that'll be more important because it's his day. It's all that anyone's going to talk about. It's all that anyone's going to be concerned about is the great day of the coming of the Lord. Now this scripture, if we look at this, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Number one, because he's coming. Why should we be in the house of the Lord? Number two, because the Bible says so. The Bible tells us that we should. Now, there's a reason for that. You know, I believe that the scripture gives us a lot of things, and the Bible says that his commandments are not grievous. God doesn't give us commandments to hurt us, but to help us. And we need to be in the house of the Lord for a lot of reasons so that we can get help. Now, you know, a lot of times when we begin to look at it, I've had people try to argue with me, and they say, well, you know, you're not going to church on Sunday. We go to church on Saturday. Folks, the Sabbath day was the seventh day. It was a day of rest. But when I look at this scripture and I begin to see they met very early, and this is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. Then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, it says, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You see, the very early church began to meet on the first day of the week because that was the day that Christ rose. And they met together, and they would meet together as a gathering, and that's when the first churches began. And it was on the first day of the week. Now, God has given us the Sabbath day, but the Sabbath was given to you as a day of rest. Now, if you read in your scripture, there's a verse that says that man was not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for the man. The Sabbath day is a gift from God to you. Now, how many of you would like to have a work week where you work 7 days a week? You know, there's places and times when it's been that way. You go over into Europe and they work about 4 days a week and they get about a month and a half vacation. Now, some of us would like that, but they got a productivity problem over there. You know, here in this country, we're blessed to have what we have. And here we are, we have Saturday, and then we have Sunday, which is the first day of the week. And well, you say, well, I want my time. Well, God wants to do something in your life. And you can't have God do all the things that God wants to do in your life if you're not willing to give something back to him. Now, I want to tell you, I want God to teach me. And you ever said that? You ever said, I want to be right with God? I want to be close to God? Well, the truth is, if you do, it'll show. It'll start to come out. But sometimes when you say you want to be right with God, God puts his hands on you and he begins to work in your life, and you got to let his hands stay on you for him to do anything great in you. And a lot of times God cannot work in your life because when he picks you up and he begins to work in your life, it's like when you pick up a child that grabs your tie and chokes you with it and slaps off your glasses and pokes its finger in your eye and it begins to kick and slap you, eventually you'll put it down. And a lot of times that's the way Christians are. They say, I want to be close to God, until God puts his hands on them, and they begin to squirm so much that God has to put them down. And then you know what they do? They blame everybody else. They think, well, I've been saved this long and I know everything. It's almost like, well, I can't go to church down there with them. because they think they're the only, you know, there's so many people that think that they're the only ones that are right, that they can't come together in unity and fellowship. That's a sign, folks, of spiritual immaturity. Because if you are the one that knows everything, please come help me. Because I hadn't got it figured out yet. And we can use your help. You see, you need to be in the house of the Lord because Jesus is coming soon. I believe that. You need to be in the house of the Lord because the Bible tells us so. You need to do it because they met very early on the first day of the week and Paul preached to them and they came together and they worshiped on the day that Christ arose. And you need to be in the house of the Lord, number three, because you need to worship. Now, he's worthy, folks, of honor. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. Now, he deserves it all. But you need to do it. And I'll tell you why you need to do it, because you were created that way. There's something inside of you that will never be satisfied or fulfilled with anything else. You know, we look around us in the world that we live in today, and we see people that have everything the world can offer, and they're still not satisfied. And the reason they're not satisfied, because there's a God-shaped hole in their heart that cannot be filled with anything else. You know why we got troubles today? People are taking that God created for a special purpose, and they're trying to cram everything in the world inside of it. You know, the Bible talks about in the last days said they would be inventors of evil things. Now, folks, drugs have always been around, but we got some fancy ones today. And you know what they're doing? They're creating them and creating more and more of these different kind of drugs and these different kind of offerings and getting deeper and deeper into all kind of sin, trying to fill a hole that's in their life when all along God says, I'm what it takes to satisfy the longing of the soul. We need to worship. In Psalms chapter number 100, in verse number 1 through verse 5, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You see, we need to be in the house of the Lord to worship. We need to give him praise. We need to give him honor. We need to give him glory. And we need to sing unto him and unto his name. You know, we need to sing, and we need to lift one another up. You know, when we come into the house of the Lord, it was mentioned just a minute ago that we're going to worship the Lord with tithes and offerings. And I'm going to say this before I read this scripture. You ever been to one of those churches, every time you go in the door, they talk about money? Okay? Now, let me tell you something. This is not that church, and I'm not that preacher. So if you're a visitor here this morning, somebody even said to me, you need to preach about giving. Well, I just don't do that a whole lot. And here's why. Because if you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you're going to give. When you get excited about what God's doing in the church, you're going to give. We had a situation at work this past week where that was brought to our attention. There was a lady that was a single mother that had three children, and she didn't have anything to give them. Her husband had run off. You know how a lot of them's like that. They don't do what they're supposed to do. And it just got around the office, and some of the ladies started to take up a collection, and they started to send out emails, and they got the size of all the clothes, and they took up money. And one day last week, a week before Christmas at lunch, they took this lady out and bought her lunch and give her the money and all the things that they had. And you know, I'm sitting here in my office knowing that I'm at a distance. Okay, all I could do is give them a little something. But you know what I was thinking? How did it feel, the joy of giving? When you got to sit down with this person that would have nothing if it weren't for the care of somebody else. Do you know that a lot of times if you're capable of giving and God allows you to do it, the joy that comes into your life, it's something that other people that understand it would like to have for themselves. Because there are things that sometimes you don't have that joy because you're not following God. And I want to give you some scripture out of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Here's the reason you need to be in the house of the Lord. Because you need to give. You know, and you can't give at home. You say, well, you know, I give mine to so-and-so. And I sit at home and I watch these ads come on the television, one right after another. And sometimes what they're giving to, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to my wife, says, shh, don't say that. When I'm seeing them, they're giving to all kind of stuff, and I'm saying, if they're not giving at least this much to this, they shouldn't be giving to that at all. You know, people will give to all kind of things, but they don't understand what's really important. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me. And I like this right here. It says, now prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I want to tell you something, folks. That last part of that I read, I want that in my life. I want God to rebuke the devourer for my sake. I do not want the vines to cast their fruit before the time. You see, the job that I have, a lot of times I'll be sitting there and they'll come to me and they'll say, we got a problem. They'll throw a set of drawings down on my desk, or they'll say, you need to come to the conference room. Sometimes they start it off like this. I hate to tell you this. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what is it? And we go in there and I sit down, and you know how many times I've sat down and I've looked, and in my mind already I'm running a tab. That's a $50,000 problem. That's a $60,000 problem. That's a $100,000 problem. And sometimes the tab even goes up and I begin to look at it. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I'm praying all the time. If you come up to me out in the foyer and say, I want to ask you a question, I'm praying. If somebody says, I want to introduce you to somebody, I'm praying. And when I get a call and I hear a mad customer, Tommy, I'm praying. When they lay those drawings down and they say, I hate to tell you this, I'm praying. And you know what I'm praying? I'm praying that God would rebuke the devourer for my sake. And you know what? He reminds me that I need to be in fellowship with Him at all times so I can have His hand of blessing on my life. Now, I've already told you, when I was preaching Christmas Eve night there, that my wife is the giver. I'm the stingy one. So God's had to give me this. And you know what I want in my life more than anything else? I want God's hand. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I hadn't learned enough. I don't know enough. I ain't good enough to even think about walking out this door thinking I don't need God's hand on my life. I need God's hand on me at work. I need God's hand on me when I'm dealing with my children at home. I need God's hand on me so that I can be a godly husband. I need God's hand on me if anything is to prosper in my life. And when I look at this scripture, He's saying, you just trust me, you just follow me, and you just see if I can't do something great for you. You need to be in God's house so you can give your treasure. You know, I'm learning. I'm not through yet. You ever know anybody, I don't need to go to church, I know it all. I've graduated, I don't need to come to Sunday school, I've graduated, I know everything. That's the problem with some of them. That's why they're sitting at home right now and they have no testimony, because they're not serving God, because they think they're too good. You need to be in God's house so God can teach you. You need to give your treasure. You need to give your time. And you need to give your talent. If you're here this morning and you're talented, guess what? God gave you that. I stand up here this morning and preach, not because of anything in me. I did not choose to be born a white male in Georgia and grow up the son of a preacher. I had nothing to do with that. And even the mind that I have, and I've prayed that God would open my mind and help me to remember and understand Scripture. I've prayed that prayer when I heard Him say that you only use a certain part of your brain. I said, Lord, let me remember. Give me an understanding. I can remember growing up hearing preachers preach, and they'd roll Scripture off, and they had power with God. And I want to tell you something. I didn't want to be a boxer. I didn't want to be somebody that played football. I watched those preachers, and I said, God, I want your hand on my life like them. That's what I wanted. And you know what? If anything is good, it's because of Him. If you can play the piano and you can just sit down and do it, God gave you that. If you're here this morning and you're beautiful and everybody tells you how pretty you are, you didn't have nothing to do with it. God gave you that. If you can sing like a bird, no use being stuck up. God gave you that. God gave it to you. And when God gives you that talent, guess what? Why does He give it to you? To give it back to Him. To glorify Him with your life. That's why we're here on this earth. And that's why people don't have joy. That's why people don't have peace, is they're trying to satisfy with everything else and not giving back to God what God's supposed to have. So you need to be in God's house to give thanks. Do we not have a lot to be thankful for this year? I know some of you have been through some things this year that are difficult. But I want to tell you something that I'm thankful for. No matter what I go through, no matter what I face, no matter where I am, I have a God that cares. He's never so far off that He can't be touched or reached out to, and I can't reach Him. All I have to do is cry out to Him. Because the same things that you go through in your life, we all face. You know, the problems that you have, we all have. The sufferings that you go through, we all have. But we have a Lord that knows and understands, and He hears and He cares about everything that's going on in our life. So we need to be in His house to give thanks. Number four, we need to be in God's house because we need Christian fellowship. We need Christian fellowship. Some people say, well, I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You need your brothers and sisters to lift you up. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, we need fellowship, and we need to love one another. Now, love, according to what I understand in Scripture, is the kind of love that's forbearing, that's forgiving. It's not like this. I'm going to love all my brothers and sisters as long as they don't offend me, as long as I agree with them all the time about everything, we never have any disagreements, as long as they don't ever sit in my seat or park in my parking place. Now, y'all laugh about that. Folks, we had a guy get fired at work this year for pulling a knife on somebody because they took his parking place. And y'all say, well, that's awful. I've seen just as bad in a Baptist church. We need to be in God's house because we need Christian fellowship. And if you love one another, you're going to love one another knowing they're not perfect. There aren't any perfect people, just forgiven people. See, sometimes you need help and support. Sometimes, and I've seen this year, just being here the short time I have, sometimes you have burdens. Sometimes those burdens are so heavy that you need those close to you. And folks, the truth is, a lot of times your church family is closer than your natural family. I praise the Lord that my entire family was able to get together on Christmas Eve for the first time in 8 years. And we didn't have a brawl. Y'all laugh, but y'all know what I'm talking about. But you know, sometimes your church family is closer than your natural family. And when you got burdens, you need them to help you. You need them to come and pick you up. In Galatians 6:2, common, you know this scripture, says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you may not have a burden today, but you could. You could. See, I got here before my wife this morning because I had a meeting. And I come through the little road over there and I noticed the water was up. And I thought about her coming through behind me. And I went out this morning just to see if I could see her car. And it scared me for a minute. I couldn't see it. I walked all up here, but it was down her head behind somebody else. And you know, we think about those things, but you never know when you're going to have a burden. You never know when you're going to have a trouble. You never know when you're going to go to the doctor and it's going to be a bad report. You never know when the phone's going to ring and it's going to be something that you don't want to hear. And what you need to be able to do is come together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and have prayer support, to have care support, to have somebody that loves you. I can remember when Luke was born, my 9.5-year-old boy. And we was teaching a little Sunday school class, and we had a big Sunday school class at the time at Grace Baptist Church. And we had a lady call us, and she says, "I want to bring y'all dinner," first day that Kendra came home. And she came in, and she was toting this tray. And I could remember it. It spoke to my heart. She had a roast fixed, and I'm going to make y'all hungry, and I'm going to try to get done. She had a roast fixed, and it had carrots and potatoes and onion, and there was gravy all around it. And when she peeled that aluminum foil back, I mean, oh, it was. And you know what I thought when I looked at it? This wasn't just a meal. This was a sacrifice. You know why? Because I knew that they didn't eat like that all the time. It wasn't just something that they whipped up. And it spoke to my heart. Because nobody in my family brought us that, Brother Tommy. It was my church family. Not only did I see it, but it let me know that they cared about us. That it wasn't just lip service. And I saw it as a sacrifice, which goes back to speak to some of the other things that we've said here. You need to be in the house of the Lord so that you can have fellowship and a family that loves you. Amen. The Bible says, choose a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You need to be in the house of the Lord because you need discipleship. I'm going to try to hurry. I'm not taking up too much time. But you know, one thing I've heard in churches really over the past few years, I've heard people say this. They say, you know, we get people saved, but where we fail is in discipling them. Now, I've heard that, but let me give you this. In order for you to be discipled, you got to be present. You ever been to one of those drawings, and you know they have these at you know parties and whatever, and you know schools, and you must be present to win. You must be present to be discipled. You know, if you have to go out looking for people to disciple them, it makes a whole lot different. This church has great things going on. On Sunday night here, we have something called Awana. Approved workmen are not ashamed. That's what that stands for. I've worked in Awana for several years. If you've got kids, they need to be in Awana so they can be discipled. We've had a little bit of problem with the holidays with our Awana numbers falling off. Come back. We're about to get geared up again. We're going to have some fun. And what I believe that God wants to do in this church, He wants to see this church move forward for His honor and glory. And if we need something that we can disciple with, I believe God wants us to have it. Okay, I'm not one of those that says, let's go down to the bank and just run the debt up. I don't believe it works. God's going to send what we need. Amen. And God knows. We have Awana, great program. We have Sunday school. We have church. We have singings. We have fellowships. We had a dinner here, the Hee Haw Supper. And there was singing. There was fellowship. There was a message. I love those kind of things. It's a testimony to the church that the church is discipling. But if you want to be discipled, you got to be here. Matthew chapter 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Then it says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And it says, He said, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. So you need to learn. Your kids need to learn. And you may need to teach. I love when I was teaching a big class and I wasn't going to be there, or even sometimes when I was, praying and looking around the class and saying, "I want you to teach next Sunday." You know, people squirm. They squirm and they wiggle. But you know, I've had them come back to me afterwards. And they say, "I'm so glad you asked me to do that. It forced me to get into my Bible and to grow. It allowed me to get an understanding myself." And after they do it a few times, they realize what a blessing it is. It's like when God gives you the opportunity and He shows you somebody that you can help. When you begin to be obedient and you learn what it's like to feel that joy of giving, you'll be glad that God let you do it. See, you need to be in church for discipleship. Folks, we need to be in God's house because we need to be evangelizing. You know that we're living in a world that's drifting farther and farther away from the Lord. We cannot save everybody, but you know what I want to do? I want to see everybody that we can be saved. Paul says his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. My heart's desire and prayer to God for this county, for the people in this county, and especially for your children and your loved ones, is that they would be saved. You got to be present. You got to be present. See, the world needs to hear about Jesus. And this is the last point. Why do we need to be in the house of God in 2015? Number 7 is because eternity is close. Eternity is close. See, I don't know how much more time God's going to give me. I don't. If God gives me a lot of time, like according to what the scriptures say, it's not much time. But what I see going on in the world today, and I can't predict when the Lord's going to come back, but I can tell you that I can read the signs. And all the signs say it's close. Go back to point number 1. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming soon. Ask your brother Keith if you would come on with a song. And I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to think about this. Have I been committed, and am I committed to what God wants me to be? All God wants you to do in your life is to bless you. God wants to help you. God wants to help your home. God wants to bless your children. If you're here this morning and you got children, you know what it's like to raise them in this world. We need to have them in the house of God. If you're here this morning and you're trying to live your life and you're working on a job, you know what it's like to work around people that are not saved. You need the influence of the house of God to help you. For me, I come to the house of the Lord hoping God will give me something, help me make it through the week. You need to be present. God wants to do something in your life. As we sing this morning, if God spoke to you, I plead with you that you'd come. These altars are open, and it was mentioned to me, if you look at the way these are made, we've got this long step. These are altars. And you say, well, I feel uncomfortable. Reach over and take somebody by the hand. People pray with you this morning, and just talk to God and let God work in your life. As we sing this song, the altars are open if you'd like to speak to the Lord this morning. That question. I want to be close to the Lord. I want to be right with God. Do you really? Because if you do, sometimes God might require something of you. He might ask you to do something. He might ask you to give something back. But God's calling right now. I believe God's speaking to somebody's heart. And what really God wants you to do is take that first step. If you'll take the first step, God will take every other step with you. I believe that with all my heart.